I want to again wish you Merry Christmas. While it feels like the rest of the world has moved on with business as usual, here in the church, we celebrate 12 days of Christmas, which just begins on December 25th. So again, I wish you Merry Christmas. If you were here on Christmas Eve, you heard Pastor Michael announce that Christ is here. Emmanuel, God with us. But what does this really mean for us? What difference does it make that Christ is here? What does it mean for us that December 25th happened? We celebrated, but now the wrapping paper is bunched up in the garbage can. The radio stations have all returned to playing their normal music. And I bet most of you have begun taking down your decorations. So what does it mean for us now that Christ is here, that God has come to us? Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is in search of the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated and killed all the male children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God for the people of God. He awoke panting and out of breath, in a cold sweat, with his heart beating furiously. "It was just a dream," he whispered to himself. "Even if it might have been a nightmare, it was just a dream. But still, I can't help but wonder, will we escape in time?" He knew that the line between nightmare and reality was quickly becoming thin and blurred in the world around him. He sprung to his feet, for he knew he had to get his wife and child out of the country, and quickly. She, a young mother, was tired and confused when her husband shook her awake in the middle of the night. There was a frenzy of activity as he began to pack and instructed her to gather all that she could carry. The sudden flurry woke the baby, who began to cry. She wondered if her husband had finally gone crazy. But then she saw it. The love and fear that filled his eyes. So they headed out under the cover of night, fleeing imminent threats of violence and even death. Mother, father, and child, desperately praying for safety and wondering, will we escape in time? They traveled together until they reached the border between Turkey and Syria. There they paid all they had to the Turkish police on patrol duty, but they only had enough money for two to pass. So after some heart-wrenching see-you-laters, the mother and child went on ahead in search of safety. Her name is Amina, and her now 4-year-old daughter's name is Shema. They live in Durham, North Carolina, and I met them almost a month ago at the annual Christmas market of Duke Memorial United Methodist Church. This market is for shoppers referred by community nonprofits like the Interfaith Hospitality Network and Church World Service to come and buy new toys at reduced prices. All items are donated by congregation members and local stores, yet it allows shoppers to retain their autonomy and dignity as they select their own items and budget what they can buy. I was fortunate to spend time that day with Amina, to hear a piece of their story, to learn the name of her husband, Adnan, who she can only assume is still in Syria. Amina, Adnan, and Shema, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, fleeing paranoid and corrupt leaders and the violence and death they ensue. Herod was an angry tyrant who feared losing his authority and power, who feared the potential of this new baby. For this baby means love has come for the world to know. Christ here with us reveals a love so powerful and passionate that God took on human flesh to come and live among us. Christ comes into the world we know, with all of its problems, with all of its sin, and with all of its challenges, out of love for us, to be here with us. The presence of Emmanuel, God with us, does not erase the danger, risks, and the death that are inherent in the life as we know it, but instead reveals God's presence and redemptive activity even there, amidst the danger, the risks, and the even death. Christ here with us means our God understands and knows our suffering and our pain. We often think of God understanding our suffering and pain in the journey to the cross. But here, with this swift transition from the reception of extravagant gifts from the visiting wise men, now to this pronouncement that Herod was out to destroy him, we know that Jesus was faced with violence, with the actions and consequences of sin, and even faced with death from the time of his birth. And Jesus experienced persecution and the need to flee for safety, even as a baby. Honestly, there's a lot in this passage that I find difficult to digest. I'd rather skip over the death of young children and ignore Herod's cold and calculated slaughter. But we can't avoid such obvious horror. The gospel, in its promised victory over sin and death, does not erase or absolve the deaths of these children. No more than the gospel excuses the tragic events we commit against one another today. We see in this passage a reality we know all too well. The reality that Christ here with us does not instantaneously create a world in which sin and tragedy are no more. But we see also in this passage that Christ here with us means there is someone who is present with Rachel and with us in our weeping over the tragedies of this world, who is present with us in our sorrow and our mourning, and who promises there will come a time when God's kingdom will be our full reality. So even when we now cannot celebrate peace on earth We celebrate Emmanuel, the love of God come to us and the promise of coming peace. The birth of Emmanuel turns the things of this world upside down. It begins establishing for us a new covenant of love rather than of law. Christ here with us means we are loved and called to love one another. Over the past couple of weeks, I continue to hear my favorite Christmas song, O Holy Night. But it's always the last verse that really hits me. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. His law is love. It's out of love for us that God came to us, entered the brokenness and mess we had made of this world, and began its redemption. It's love that Christ teaches us throughout his life on earth. And it's love that he asks of us, instructing us to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves, to let love cross all human-created divisions. As I talked with Amena at the Christmas market that morning, she said it was simply 1,000 acts of love that carried she and her daughter Shema to safety. The sacrificial love of a father and husband who sent his wife and child on ahead. The love of two police officers who could have easily taken advantage of them, but instead took great care in transporting them across the border. The love of several Turkish citizens who gave them water, food, and even shelter in the many weeks they waited to travel to the U.S. The love of the nonprofit workers who found them an apartment and helped them acclimate to North Carolina. His law is love. We are loved and called to love. We are invited to share God's love in our words and our deeds. To share love in all that we say and all that we do. We are called to love and to put love into action. But it was her shouting that first caught my attention, and instinctively I walked towards her. Her name was Sadako, and she was immediately overwhelmed as she walked into the Christmas market that morning. There was the hustle and bustle of other shoppers and an entire crew of volunteers who met her at the door. One volunteer asked for her entrance ticket, another handed her a tote bag, while still another was explaining to her what the different colored stickers meant. But she didn't speak any English, so as the crowd of well-meaning volunteers around her grew, her repetition of no English, no English, grew louder and louder until she was shouting and tears ran down her face. It was our collective desire to be helpful, but in this instance, in this situation, what we were doing was causing harm. Cullen, the associate pastor, promptly reminded this newly formed crowd that above the call to be helpful is our call to love and to share Christ's love. The crowd around her quickly thinned until only Cullen, Mrs. Kimmy, one of the chairs of the Christmas market, and myself remained. We learned that she is from Somalia, had only been in Durham a couple of weeks, and was there to buy toys for her three children. 4.5 years ago, I spent the summer in Africa, and my group spent our last couple of days at a camp on the border between Kenya and Somalia. As I stood there racking my brain, I couldn't remember the few helpful phrases I had known. Words like hello and how are you just wouldn't come to mind. But for reasons only God knows, in that moment, I remembered the Somali version of the children's song, Jesus Loves Me. We must have sung this song hundreds of times during those last couple of days with the children. So as I began, Sadako smiled and nodded along with me, affirming that I wasn't completely crazy, and that despite my mispronunciations and horrible pitch, she seemed to understand what I was saying. It was when I reached the chorus, "Yes, Jesus loves me," that she joined in, singing with me, "Si se waha chesel ya he." I didn't learn anything else about Sadako that morning. I'm uncertain how or why she knows the song, "Jesus Loves Me," coming from a country in which only 3% of the population identify as Christians. And I'll probably never know her full story. But as I watched, acts of love surrounded her that day. Mrs. Kimmy put love into action as she spent the next 4 hours patiently helping Sadako to navigate the Christmas market and the currency exchange. Cullen loved as he offered wise words of guidance and instruction to the eager volunteers. A couple of high school girls loved as they helped her to select some toys, remaining mindful to not overwhelm her with loud English. And all of the volunteers loved as they made the market run smoothly for her and around her. Yes, Jesus loves her. Yes, Jesus loves me. And yes, Jesus loves you. His law is love. Truly, he taught us to love one another, for his law is love, and his gospel is peace. As Amena and her 4-year-old daughter, Shema, left the Christmas market that day, Shema approached each of the volunteers as she passed. They were easily recognizable, as each of us was wearing a bright red apron. Shema would walk up, point her finger in the face of each, and wag it as she said, "You are Christmas. You are Christmas." But are you Christmas? Will you be Christmas? Will you freely share God's love with others? Will you let the fact that Christ is here with us make a difference in your life? And let love lead you to action. Amen.